It is good to see you all back here this evening and to be joined together again in an opportunity to worship God. And I am truly grateful. I heard someone ask me that they thought I would look worse than I do after my lesson this morning. But makeup does a wonderful thing. It can cover up my two black eyes, and so we're good to go. I apologize. We had to leave fairly rapidly after services this morning to take Kaylee's grandmother to meet her aunt in Brewer, and so that was the reason for our quick departure. I wasn't mad at anybody. That's why we got out of here pretty quick. On March the 4th, 1933, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave an inaugural address to accept his vote as President of the United States. This is coming after the market had crashed and many people were fearful. What was the future of the United States? There was a war brewing in Europe with Germany. And the fate of the United States was much on the brink of, are we going to make it or are we not? This financial catastrophe, this war brewing, what's going to become of America? And in that speech, FDR made the statement that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And that quote has been mentioned numerous times throughout my life. That reference has been made numerous times by different teachers and professors and people that I admire and look up to in life and family members. And this evening, we're going to look at fairly quickly this idea of fear, and specifically the idea of the fear of man. The word fear is found in a quick concordance check over 500 times in the King James Version of the Bible. So why is it that we have this is mentioned so many times? Well, it's a very important thing. And the phrase fear God or fear the Lord is mentioned 365 or 366 times, depending upon which concordance you look at or place you research it at. And it's a lot of things have been said as a fear the Lord for each day of the year. And so, and there's many people who've wrote many books about that idea of every day there is a fear of the Lord, and they use that in that way. And I think that's very good. But this idea of fearing man and the challenge of mankind, and personally that I have fearing I'm going to disappoint, that I'm constantly striving for the approval of man. And that's what I want. And I think the very nature of man, and many times, is to have satisfaction and to be approved of by others and to get a pat on the back from time to time. But I think as we look at this, it is important for us to who's doing the patting on the back. You know, who do we value as the one that we are gaining approval of? Who is the one that we fear disapproval of, or we fear coming up short of or disappointing? And that is what I want to look at. And the many things of fearing man. And we have this so many times, and this idea kind of came from, you know, we constantly, this time of the year, we try to find out, you know, we make lists and we say, you know, that's what my kid wants for Christmas. And they make a list out and they give it to Santa Claus and they tell Santa, you know, this is what I want. And the last thing that Santa wants to do is, you know, disappoint one of those little kids, not be able to follow through. Or maybe it's a family member, a friend, or a mom, or a dad, or someone, and we go, you know, I want to make them happy. But why is it that we fear disappointing someone greater than we fear disappointing God? As we look at this lesson this evening, we're going to see that that should not be the case. We shouldn't be focused on impressing others or showing ourselves out big or disappointing someone or flexing our bank account, but rather we should fear God. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, it says this, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." I don't know how many of you have ever set a snare before. A snare is a trap that's oftentimes used to catch game of prey. When I was a little boy, we spent a lot of time, me and the neighbor boys, in the woods back behind our house. And we saw in a Boy's Life magazine how you could set a snare up and you could catch a rabbit. And we thought that'd be a pretty cool thing to do. So we set us up several snares around our fort in the woods. And we said, you know, these are little game trails, and they follow those little trails, and that'll be all fine and dandy. And we'll just come back tomorrow morning, and we will surely have caught us something. And we did. We caught ourselves a skunk. And we didn't know what to do then. we didn't have no gun or nothing like that. And we thought, well, if we catch a rabbit, we'll just hit it in the back of the head, we'll skin it and cook it over a fire, and everything will be fine and dandy. We wasn't braced for catching a skunk. This snare that is set forth, and as it says, the fear of man lays a snare. It sets a trap. It sets a trap that is set by Satan himself. And so this is set up, as we'll look at in a moment, but the thing that we should be seeking after is trusting God. And in trusting God, that is where we have safety, and we can have no fear of man. And we have no fear of what man may do to us or the snares that may lie beneath, because we safely trust in the Lord. Mankind has a fear of failure or disapproval, as I mentioned a moment ago. And that is much of the nature of man. And that fear of failure or disapproval is what keeps so many people on the fence for some of their life. Should I make this leap? Should I seek after this girl? That's what a lot of young men they struggle with. Is, you know, if I put myself out here on a limb, and what happens if she turns me down? Well, you don't have her now, and I mean, you didn't really lose anything. But it's hard to get that through your mind when you're seeking after that thing of that woman that you might spend the rest of your life with. But fear of failure and disapproval, we fear upsetting others, and we use that as a guide in our life. But God is able to free us from this fear, not by just making it go away, but by rather redirecting that fear. And redirecting that fear to its appropriate place, and that is in fearing the Lord. Satan uses this snare so often by setting us up to be fearful of what man's going to say about us. What man's going to say about us because we're Christians, because we do love God and we are Christians and we wear that name. And what is man going to say about that? What are they going to say about us? Are they going to pick at us and make fun of us? How will we be persecuted? How will we be looked at by others, by those people at work, by our bosses, our employees, by just our neighbors or the people we see in the store, by the things and the people that we claim to be on social media, where people will hide behind that and say things about you and how sorry you are for being a Christian and how could God do all this and you believe in a God that believes in destroying evil people. Why do you do that? The greatest snare of fear that Satan sets is this idea of being politically correct. And we have to watch what we say or mind what we say. And that a lot of times binds our tongue in fear, that we're scared to stand up and speak up about God and about His love for us as man and what He has planned for us and what He has done for us and the price that He has paid for us so that we could be saved from our sins. So we need to be in that of fearing the Lord. The things of which we love are the things which we fear upsetting or losing. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15, Jesus, speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, said this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You see, if we lay up for ourselves treasures here on this earth, and we put our trust in that, that is much of what drove the fear of which FDR talked about. Many people were fearful of what was going to happen and whether we are going to eat or whether we're going to have bread to eat or whether we're what is going to happen to us. And if we lay up here on this earth all of these treasures, and that is what we trust, and that is what we lean on, and that is where we find security and dependability, then every time somebody burps in the government and the stock market goes for a crazy ride, we become scared. And we become fearful. And we don't know what to do. And while there are many passages which speak to laying up in Proverbs of laying up stores of choice food and oil and wine, but taking care of business at home, but that's not where your heart lies. That should not be the things which you treasure and the things which you hold near and dear to your heart. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if the thing is which you are focused on is this treasure here on earth where moths and rust can come in and thieves can steal, then you have a great fear. But if you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, God has set up those walls and God has set up those boundaries and God is the security guard and no one can break in and no one can steal and no one can destroy. For God Himself stands as the one who secures those things. We don't need to trust them or fear in losing our treasures on this earth. We must not let our net worth define our fear or our love. The person or thing which we ascribe authority to is whom we fear. So whatever the thing is that you give as the authority in your life, that is the thing which you fear. And much of our childhood, we feared our parents. We feared what might happen if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And now as we develop and we grow and we have flexed that respect for authority, we then understand that we should fear God because He is all authority. And all authority which is on this earth is given by God. And too many people have given more authority to man in their life over God. And they say, well, this man or this woman, they control me more than God does. And they hang on their every word. And whatever they say, and there are people within maybe your life whom you do the same thing and you trust them and give them a higher role in your life than even you give God. It is the person we fear the most that is in fact the person we desire their approval above all. And the person whom we should fear above all is God. And that's why we should fear the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 is written this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." I think a lot of times we get confused and we think of God's laws as burdensome. And God's laws are not burdensome, but rather they are there for us to grow and so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. It almost sounds like a Bible verse, doesn't it? What about Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28? "And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Man walks around, and yes, man could, in fact, take our life. And man could maybe put us in the gutter, and in the gutter of life. Could send us down a road of spiraling depression. But what fear should we have in them that we should not have greater fear in the Lord? For God is the one who will judge you based on all of your actions. He sees the things which are done in the open and the things which are done in secret. And He knows you inside and out, and He even knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. And He is the ultimate judge, who is a just and righteous and good judge. He doesn't just destroy the body, but He also has the power to put the eternal soul into everlasting fire. And that is why we should fear the Lord. And see, this idea of fearing the Lord and loving the Lord, both are taught by Moses and Jesus. Earlier in Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Identical to what Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Both mention fear, and both command to love God with all that is in you. And this is not two contradictory statements, but rather this is two sides of the same coin. Because if we do in fact fear God, then we love God. And we love God, if we love God, we will fear God. And those things work interchangeably. Because as we looked at a while ago, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we fear God, then we love God. And we know that we desire to appease and to seek the approval of those people that we love. And all the more so should we seek the approval of God, whom we also love. You see, the fear of man is a snare because it is a false god. And Satan lays that snare because it so easily ensnares us, as we read in Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 25. We must lay this aside because it cripples our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What would have happened? You think about this coming right off of Hebrews chapter 11, and man put those chapter breaks in there, not God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about those men and those women of great faith. Where would those people of great faith have been? Where would they be? And what would they have done if they would have feared man over fearing God? Well, let's just think about Noah briefly. If Noah feared man and man's approval, what would have happened with the ark? Well, I dare say that the ark would not have been finished. I think about if I put myself in Noah's shoes, and everyone's maybe mocking me and no one's listening. I'm trying to teach and convert people to, you know, fear God again, fear God. And they don't care. They don't want anything to do with me. Well, if I want to make my friends happy and I fear man over fearing God, then we'll just quit building the boat. What about Rahab? What if Rahab would have not feared God, but rather feared man? Well, in fact, she put her life on the line. And she knew that. By hiding the spies, she in fact risked her own life. If they would have found out she would have been aiding and abetting the enemy, what would have happened to Rahab and those within her house? Well, she would have been put to death. But Rahab rather feared the Lord greater than fearing man. And it is because of her great faith that we know her. What would have happened to those spies? Well, they would have been killed along with her. How would that have set the course up for the journey into the land of Canaan? What about Joshua? What about Joshua as one of the spies into the Canaan's land? What if he would have came back and they would have said, "You know what, just like the other 10, you know, those are big people and we are crickets in their sight. Then, you know, it's not worth it. We'll just die." Changes the story, doesn't it? These people were known because of their faith, because they feared God over fearing man. And though they knew it was a risk, maybe to their own literal life, they knew who controlled the soul. And they knew that appeasing God and making God happy because they loved God and they feared God, that was far greater than anything that man may or could do to them. So let's look at a few points maybe for us to take home with us. Number one, confess your fear of man to faithful friends. We're all in this struggle together. We're all in this struggle of life together. And while we have from time to time fear of man or things within this world, we have friends. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have friends within this body here at Ephesus that we can lean on and that we can trust that says, I'll be there with you. I'll walk that walk with you. Fear not those people over there. We're walking together in fearing God and walk that walk together. I ask you this, question your fear of man. What is it that you fear about man? What is it that you fear and why is it that you fear that? And a lot of times those fears are very misguided and they're very, you know, passing. And we think about the book of Ecclesiastes and all of the things which was sought out after to only find out that this is all vanity of vanities. This is pointless. This is nothingness. But to fear God and keep His commandments. Why is it that you fear what you fear out of man? And what can you do about that? Think about Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 again. Courageously confront your fear of man. Obedience calls for courage from time to time. And for us to be obedient unto God means that we're going to have to kind of pick ourselves up, face the fight, and keep on keeping on. And courage is not the absence of fear, but rather it is fear that has been subdued by trusting in God and exercising that trust in God as often as we can. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." While facing great persecution within that first century church, it was important for them to keep their eye on the prize and to keep their mind and their heart and their soul on the goal, which was to spread the news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, which has come into the world to save His people from their sins. So we must obey God rather than men and flex that courage. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 gives this and says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Man, the very man whom you fear in life, will be the first ones to leave you. Those friends that you thought you had so near and dear to you are not there when you call. I watch a movie every year, and it's called The Ultimate Gift. And it's a cheap made film. It's one of those just, I don't even know if it was in the box office films. But it's a series of movies. And it's also a book, you know, so if you're one of those type people. The ultimate gift, he finds out as this trust fund baby, he finds out as part of receiving his grandfather's multi-billion dollar estate that he has to do a few things. And one of the things that happens to him is he loses all of his money. He loses his cell phone, his car, everything around him goes away to find out who his real friends are. And he finds out he has none. But he finally makes friends with a little girl. I'll give you that little bit then. But how quickly is it if we put our trust and our fear in man, how quickly it'll go away? How quickly it will fade? How quickly it will vanish? But the Lord your God who goes with you, He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Trusting in God is safe, and fearing man is not. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25 tells us those very things. The fear of man is a snare. God teaches us this hard lesson through obeying in spite of feeling afraid and being scared. And keep on trusting Him despite all of those things. Learning to trust God's promises more than our perceptions of fear and our perceptions of man. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" If you're here this evening and you have been walking in the fear of man rather than the fear of God, I want to take this time to encourage you to be courageous, to be strong, to be of good courage, and to face the fight of Satan with all of us here. If you're not a Christian this evening, we want you to know that in God alone is the only place that there is safety. In the Lord is the only place that there is a true friend. So if you're here this evening and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.